Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright.
Sometimes to wake up, to be restored, we need to be swallowed.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in the series called Providence, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout today's entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. So, as you listen to today's message, go deeper in your study as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at pastoralan.org. That's pastoralan.org. Or call 877-544-4860. 877-544-4860. More on that later in the program. But now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
Though you might be far from God, He is able to orchestrate circumstances and people and events for your good and His glory in ways that might defy your imagination right now. And we've learned how God could even work through others' wickedness, like Joseph's brothers that sold him into slavery, and God used it for good. Well, today, we come to even a deeper revelation. What about the moments when you're at your worst? The darkest valleys. You feel like you've got the least faith you ever had. Where's God then? I want to show you the providence of God in the familiar story of a depressed, wayward prophet named Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Jonah was a famous, successful prophet. We know this from a passage in 2 Kings chapter 14, where we're told that Jonah prophesied about the extension and securing of the borders of Israel under the reign of Jeroboam. So Jonah was powerful in the spirit. He had accurate prophecies. He was in the royal court. The people knew who Jonah was. He was well known. He was an amazing man of God. And at verse 2, the Lord gives him a word. Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. Nineveh was the chief city of their arch enemy, Assyria. The primary at that season enemy to Israel, people that would invade and overrun their nation. They were idolatrous. They worshiped false gods. They had no respect at all towards the people of Israel. They just as soon devastate them. And Jonah was told to go and preach to them. You'd have to think about your worst enemy to begin to envision what this story of Jonah is about. And notice that word great, that great city. I bring your attention to it because one of the thematic literary elements in the book of Jonah are repetitive words and themes. It is all by itself just beautiful literature. And this word great, which means not only large but important, is something that is going to recur throughout the story, story about a great city. And we'll read about a great fish, and we'll read about a great wind, and a great evil, and a great tempest. And the wickedness is great, and that word for wickedness occurs 8 times in our story of Jonah as well. Verse 3, Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare, went down into it to go with him to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Literally, away from the presence of the Lord means from away from the face of the Lord. In Hebrew, the idea of the presence of the Lord is almost always, in this phrase, the face of the Lord. Because when the Lord lifts up his countenance, he's like a father whose child comes in the room and the father lifts up his face with delight. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and lift up his countenance upon you. That's the presence of God. And so Jonah is fleeing from the face of the Lord. Doesn't want to see the Lord's face. Doesn't want to be in his presence because of this this command to go preach to the enemy. He doesn't want to do it. And you'll notice that he's going down to Joppa. That's going to be another theme that's going to occur over and over. He's going down to Joppa. He's going to go down into a boat. He's going to go down into the sea. He's going to go down into the belly of a whale. This is a depressed prophet who is going down. If you were to imagine where he's trying to go and look it on a map, it's almost comical because he's told to go 550 miles to the northeast to Nineveh, but instead he goes 2,500 miles to the west, essentially to the farthest known place in the world at that time, to Jonah. He wants to get as far away as he can. And it's interesting, if you notice again at verse 3, the repetition of Tarshish three times. Flee to Tarshish, ship going to Tarshish, go with them to Tarshish, 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 away, away, away. It's about a depressed prophet who wants to get as far away, away, away as he can get from God. Verse 4, the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea. There's our word great again, great wind, and that same word appears, great tempest. The ship was threatened to break. It is no ambiguity here. The Lord is the actor. He has hurled the wind, and that's important to the story. The phrase about threatened to break up is really wonderful in Hebrew because it is alliterative, and it is what we call, onomatopoeia, where a word sounds like what it is doing, like the word crash in English sounds like a crash, and that's the way this sounds in the Hebrew about this ship threatening to break up. Hishba, heshaber. You can almost hear the storm. Verse 5, the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled cargo into the that was in the ship to lighten it, getting ballast out that will potentially help save the ship. But Jonah had gone down, there's our word, into the inner part of the ship and had lain down. Here it is again, it was fast asleep. So they're crying out to their false god, strategically unloading the boat. Jonah's gone down as asleep. There's only two ways that anybody could ever be asleep in the middle of a hurricane on a boat that's about to capsize, and that is either you've got perfect peace and faith, or you are so depressed you don't care anymore. And that was Jonah. I've never been depressed to that level, but I've counseled and prayed with many who have and report that it gets to a point you don't care about anything. When it all feels hopeless, you just don't care anymore. Let the storm kill me and I don't care. What's the point? A mighty man of God in the bottom of the ship, sleeping.
That's Alan Wright. And we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Unlock the power of blessing your life. Discover God's grace-filled vision for your life by signing up for Alan Wright's free daily blessing. If you want to fill your heart with grace and encouragement, get Alan Wright's daily blessing. It's free and just a click away at PastorAlan.org. God's love. You've heard about it with your ears. You've believed it in your mind. Now experience it in your heart with Alan Wright's beloved book, Lover of My Soul. The Bible is a love story from beginning to end. You are the spiritual bride of Christ, the perfect bridegroom. The Bible tells about a God who has gone to unimaginable lengths to woo you, to win you, and to walk with you hand in hand. For any man who has fallen in love with a woman, you've tasted the sweetness of what God's love for you is like. For any woman who has searched for true love, what you long for can only be found fully in God. Gary Chapman, renowned author of the Five Love Languages, says, "The incredible reality that God pursues us in love comes to life in Lover of My Soul. Ancient biblical accounts explode in the heart. Accept Christ's proposal, enjoy his embrace, revel in his love. After all, it's a match made in heaven." It's Lover of My Soul by Alan Wright. The gospel is shared when you give to Alan Wright Ministries. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Allen Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Allen Wright.
And at verse 6, the captain came and said, "What do you mean, you sleep? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us. We may not perish." It's like our gods aren't working. Maybe your God will work. How could anybody be asleep at a time like this? Verse 7, they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said, "Tell us on whose account this evil's come upon us. What's your occupation? Where do you come from? What's your country? What people are you?" So this is, throughout the history of the world, what every religion apart from the gospel has done. That anytime things look like they're going in the wrong direction, that life seems scary and uncertain or painful, what must we do to appease the gods so that we would find favor and get a better sense of security in the world? That's what religion does and still does. And desperate to find an answer, they're looking, well, maybe this guy has a god. Maybe we could sacrifice to his god. What do we need to do? And they cast lots, ancient practice of trying to discern the mind of God. And we don't need this as Christians. You don't see anything like this in Christianity because we have the Holy Spirit of God himself, and we share in the mind of Christ, and we have an anointing from the Holy Spirit that will lead us into truth. We can talk to God. But they cast lots, and falls on Jonah. And they say, "Who are you? What's going on here?" Verse 9, he said to them, "I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This is not the mighty prophet who is saying, "I am a Hebrew, and I serve the one true living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is the creator of the ends of the earth and the master of the wind and the waves." And he can, no, this is Jonah depressed going, "Okay, I might as well tell you." This isn't weird. It's a depression. It's like if he hasn't abandoned his belief in God. He's just depressed. "I'm a Hebrew. I serve the one true God who made all of this. And I am." They said to him, verse 11, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" What do we need to do so that we would move your God on our behalf? That is the spirit of religion. What effort do we need to make? What offering do we need to make? What sacrifice do we need to make? Obviously, we need to do something to move your God so that we don't die. It is the opposite of the gospel. And Jonah, who knows better, in his depression, says, verse 12, "Pick me up, hurl me into the sea, and the sea will quieten down for you." Which is prophetic, that's what's going to happen, but it's not for the reason he thinks. He's not being offered as a human sacrifice. He says, "For I know it's because of me this great tempest has come upon you," which is true, but not in the way that he thinks. There's never a place in Scripture, ever, anywhere, not in the Old Testament or New Testament, that any human sacrifice in any way appeases or pleases God. God finds the sacrifice of a human being the greatest abomination, and there's no way that that's what this story is about. God doesn't want Jonah in the water to kill him, but he does want him in the water because he's got a plan to save him. Verse 13. "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not." They were like, "We're probably going to have to throw him in, but that's a last resort. Let's try harder ourselves, and then we'll make the sacrifice, the human sacrifice." They rowed. They couldn't do anything about it. Verse 14, "Then they called out to the Lord." They called out now to this God that Jonah had introduced him to, the Lord, Yahweh. "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood." We wash our hands with his. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. And so they picked up Jonah, they hurled him in the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. And the men, of course, figured that we just made a sacrifice of this human, and it obviously pleased this God named Yahweh, and the sea has stopped. And so, at verse 16, the men feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows. All for misunderstanding who God is. They thought they just killed Jonah, and that their human sacrifice had pleased God. And so it says they feared the Lord. Remember that verse that says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? I love what my Uncle Stanley used to say. It's the beginning, but it's not the end. All they knew was, whoa, his God must be real. That's all they really understood at that point. They didn't know how to have a relationship with God. So at verse 16, they feared the Lord and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and they made vows. They just assumed that this God must be like their God and that it was all about their vows, their sacrifices, and what they didn't know God. But that's what they started doing. Verse 17, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. It might be that this should be translated, some scholars say, had appointed, which I like. The Lord had long before appointed a great fish. It wasn't a fish that happened to be swimming by. It wasn't an accident. When Bennett was little, he liked to play act Bible stories. His favorite was David and Goliath. Why was Goliath 1,000 times falling down on the carpet in the den as he would hurl a tissue or something using his blankie? But he also liked Jonah. And I remember one time we were playing Jonah, and he was up on the couch. He said, okay, Daddy, this couch is the boat, and the storm's blowing. So I'm like, whew. He said, okay, now, Daddy, you be the sailors and throw me into the sea. So we put some cushions on the floor, and I took him, I hurled him overboard down onto the sea, the deep sea, and he's flailing around. He said, okay, Daddy, now you be the whale. And so I put my arms out like Jaws. Boom, 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 here comes the great big whale to eat up Jonah. Boom, 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 boom. And little 2-year-old Bennett interrupts me and said, no, Daddy. Said, the whale doesn't eat Jonah, the whale saves him. I remember at the time, 26 years ago, and I said, are you sure about that? And, okay, I went to seminary. I'm pretty sure he eats him. And, but I went back and looked at the story, you know, and what persuades me of Bennett's theology on this is that chapter 2, verse 4, the prayer of Jonah. Who is he recalls it. He says at verse 4, he said, I'm driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. He's describing what it felt like to nearly drown. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. The roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever, yet you brought up my life from the pit. That's how Jonah looked on it. He sent a great fish to bring his life up out of the seaweed and save him. See, Jonah didn't repent after he was swallowed by a whale. He was repenting while he was sinking down and saying, Lord, save me. And so the whale was the salvation. There's a whale of a difference between being eaten and being saved. I couldn't resist. Verse 10, the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. I like that God can speak to underwater sea creatures in the deeps. I wish somebody had a better, softer word than vomit, but that's what we get in the English Standard Version because it's messy. Getting saved and put on dry land when you've been sinking into the deep, sometimes a little messy. And then one of my favorite verses in the Bible, at Jonah 3, verse 1, as Jonah is there wiping the fish guts off of his body and thinking about it all, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. There's a scripture in the New Testament that says the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Isn't that beautiful? How beautiful is our God, that you could run to Tarshish with all your might and let lie a prophetic gift dormant, and God's after you.
Alan Wright, our good news message, it's a whale of a plan from the series Providence. Hey, stick with us. Pastor Alan is joining us back in the studio, sharing a parting good news thought for the day here in just a moment.
Unlock the power of blessing your life. Discover God's grace-filled vision for your life by signing up for Alan Wright's free daily blessing. If you want to fill your heart with grace and encouragement, get Alan Wright's daily blessing. It's free and just a click away at PastorAlan.org. God's love. You've heard about it with your ears. You've believed it in your mind. Now experience it in your heart with Alan Wright's beloved book, Lover of My Soul. The Bible is a love story from beginning to end. You are the spiritual bride of Christ, the perfect bridegroom. The Bible tells about a God who has gone to unimaginable lengths to woo you, to win you, and to walk with you hand in hand. For any man who has fallen in love with a woman, you've tasted the sweetness of what God's love for you is like. For any woman who has searched for true love, what you long for can only be found fully in God. Gary Chapman, renowned author of the Five Love Languages, says, "The incredible reality that God pursues us in love comes to life in Lover of My Soul. Ancient biblical accounts explode in the heart. Accept Christ's proposal, enjoy his embrace, revel in his love. After all, it's a match made in heaven." It's Lover of My Soul by Alan Wright. The gospel is shared when you give to Alan Wright Ministries. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, PastorAlan.org.
Back here in the studio to share Pastor Alan's parting good news thought for the day. And God's after us. And I have a friend who says, you know, it's all in the way you hear even that God's looking after you. He's watching you. He's not looking down with grave disappointment, ready to snuff you out. He is pursuing you with love and grace. And that's part of our closing thought today.
Yeah. If you think of Jonah as the ultimate picture of Jesus, then you start realizing more and more the depths of which God has gone to redeem our lives. And I think in many ways, that's what Jonah points us to, is look at the unfailing mercies of God, and all of this pointing to the ultimate unfailing mercy of God to come for us in the person of Jesus Christ. And we can be in a situation where God is at work, redeeming and working on our behalf, and we can be completely unaware of it. And in fact, there can be times in which we feel like we are getting swallowed up, but we're really getting saved. And that's what the story of Jonah points us to. And it always points us to the better Jonah, Jesus. That's all about the providence of God.
Thanks for listening today. Visit us online at PastorAlan.org or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. If you only caught part of today's teaching, not only can you listen again online, but also get a daily email devotional that matches today's teaching delivered right to your email inbox free. Find out more about these and other resources at PastorAlan.org. That's PastorAlan.org. Today's Good News message is a listener-supported production of Allen Wright Ministries.